not the first to battle media bias. I'm Ray Hanania. President Donald Trump has vowed to change the White House relationship with the mainstream news media and expand access to include new and other media. And Trump is justified in denouncing the news media's obvious bias. The news media has been wrong on almost everything, from politics to the attendance at his inauguration. Add the viewing data from both television and internet online, and more people watch Trump get sworn in as president than any other predecessor. And in addition, the photo where they show those white squares empty, that's as security was intensely scrutinizing people in attendance and slowly allowing them into the area. Had the media waited 10 minutes when the inauguration actually started and taken the same picture, all of those areas were packed with people. Instead of discussing the inauguration crowd size properly and fairly, ABC's George Stephanopoulos, for example, a former top aide to Trump's rivals Bill and Hillary Clinton, called Trump a liar on his Sunday morning show. That was 2 weeks ago. It's amazing how far the biased news media has gone to impact an election, which is not their job. Trump's fight against media bias isn't a new one. It happened before in Chicago, and I was at the front lines of that storm. No one in the major media believed Jane M. Byrne would crush the Chicago machine and Mayor Michael A. Blandick in the February 1979 election, but she did. Byrne's biggest battle, though, was with the news media, and that is Trump's challenge, too. Byrne failed, but in Trump's case, he can succeed. Although Byrne began as a reformer, she flipped and embraced the very evil cabal of men that she had denounced during her campaign in less than 6 months of taking office. Byrne made Fast Eddie Verdoliak and the Chicago mob her council leadership, abandoning her reform council floor leaders, believing rightly that they were inept. She realized they were trying to strengthen her real political threat, Richie Daley, so she dumped the so-called reformers. Byrne's first media outburst came in August 1979 in response to a column that I wrote that detailed her plans to oust Cook County Circuit Clerk Morgan Finley. Finley broke a promise to hire her husband, Jay McMullen, 2 years before. The column angered McMullen, who was now the second husband, and he called to threaten and to punch me in the nose. Quote, "I don't need my wife to fight my battles," McMullen yelled at me, but his wife did fight his battles, blaming the story on media bias and me. Within 1 year, Byrne was fighting all the media. She ordered City Council Sergeant-at-Arms Mike Coletta to give 10 more community news outlets access to the already crowded and privileged City Hall press room. The newsroom had desks and telephones for myself, the Chicago Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, WIND Radio, City News Bureau, and the Chicago Defender, which represented the African American community, but rarely had someone at the desk. An anteroom had desks for WBBM Radio, WMAQ Radio, and WBEZ Radio. The added desks left no room to maneuver, made it very crowded, but it didn't work. Although Byrne invited the community news media to cover City Hall and compete with the hall's regular media, she was decades before her time. The community media didn't have the resources and couldn't sustain the access that she gave them. There was no internet. There were no blogs or social media to circumvent the mainstream media's ability to reach Chicagoland's audience. The personal computer was still new at the time. I brought the first one to City Hall in 1979. The Chicago Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times followed. Soon the media was mastering computer technology. But it's different for Trump today. With the internet and social media mainstream staples of our society, Trump doesn't have to be hostage to the mainstream news media at all, the way Jane Byrne was. Trump can give his news to the alternate media of bloggers, social media writers, and Twitter scribes. Trump can tweet his releases instantly to millions of followers and writers who want it and who can provide more objective coverage of his administration. He can ignore the big media networks, the arrogance of ABC News, CBS News, NBC News, WGN, and even Fox News, and all of the newspaper giants like the biased Tribune, the biased Washington Post, the biased Huffington Post, and the biased New York Times, and more. Of the nation's top 100 newspapers, only two endorsed Trump for president over Clinton. Their predictions and analysis were wrong. Why should he continue to cater to them? Trump doesn't have to give the media free space, telephones, or internet access at the White House. Make them pay for it. He doesn't even have to give them rooms to work in. They're owned by big, rich, wealthy, greedy corporations, and they can afford to pay their way. The smaller media is the media that needs the support, including independent and community media that have traditionally been excluded from the White House by the major biased media and its complicit administrations. Trump should invite independent journalists and columnists to cover his administrations, his executive orders, his press conferences, and all his actions. Put them in the front row at press conferences. Tell Stephanopoulos he's out. This would encourage more diverse news reporting and more competition, something that's lacking today. The people want news. They want opinion, but they want and they need news, and they are not getting news from the mainstream reporters and journalists who are supposed to restrict their writing to news. Unlike Byrne, who failed, Trump can win. The times are different. The media has changed. The internet allows access to a huge audience. That would be good for America. I'm Ray Hanania. Thank you for listening to my column commentary podcast at thedailyhookah.com. My columns address issues from around the world, including news, politics, and slice of life topics from Chicago to Jerusalem. This podcast is an audio production of those print newspaper columns, and it also features other independent audio productions. My mainstream columns are viewable online at thedailyhookah.com. My columns on the Middle East appear every Thursday in the Arab News newspaper and online at arabnews.com. Don't forget to download my free podcast app from the Apple Store and visit my website, thedailyhookah.com, to keep up with my life and writing. Thank you.